sea. I was tossed to and fro, and Jesus heard my plea. I had many problems, no rest could I find. Then Jesus came along, and He restored my mind. Oh, these chains, I refuse to wear these chains. Since Jesus took these chains off of me, chains, I refuse to wear these chains. Since Jesus took these chains off of me, no time for your hurt, no time for your pain. Set aside your affections, and God will remove the chain. I run my race with patience, I won't let Satan get me down. Gonna bear my cross, and I'll receive my crown. Oh, these chains, I refuse. Since Jesus took these chains off of me, chains, I refuse to wear these chains. Since Jesus took these chains off of me, no time for me, no time for your hurt, no time for your pain. Set aside your affection, and God will remove the chain. I'll run my race with patience, I won't let Satan get me down. I'm gonna bear my cross, and I'll receive my crown. Oh, these chains, I refuse. Since Jesus took these chains off of me, no more chains, I refuse to wear these chains. Since Jesus took these chains off of me, no more chains, no more chains.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. I come to praise Him tonight. I come to lift Him up tonight. I don't know what you came to do, but I come to lift up my Jesus tonight. He's been so good. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, and I praise you tonight, Lord. I thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you've been so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Spirit of the living God is in this place tonight. And you can ask me how I know, and I can tell you that I feel Him all in me. There's a song that goes that I can feel Him in my hands. I can feel Him in my feet. But I know today that the living God abides within me today. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as I think of the songs that were sung, and I think of the opportunity that God has given me, I can do nothing but lift up my hands and say, oh God, save you, Lord Jesus. Come before me today, Lord. Your Spirit, God, move in this place, Lord. I can do nothing, Lord. Jesus, accept you, oh God, Lord. Stir the hearts, Lord. Jesus, Lord, my preaching, Lord, will be in vain. Oh God, today, Lord. Jesus, accept, Lord, you be here tonight, Lord. Oh God, Lord, it is the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I thank God for my pastor, and I thank God for wisdom. You know, some of the things that Brother Clayton said, I'm just glad for the man of God that God has given me. You know, some of you have been around for years, and, you know, you had him for a pastor, and I've only been under him for a short time. But I can say for a fact that God knows what He's doing when He puts that man in the pulpit. you know, I just want to worship and praise God today. And I want you to just, like Brother Clayton said, just amen. Just praise the Lord. Just lift him up. Amen. I pray that you will stand before we go into the reading of the word. And I want to really express my appreciation to the youth department for this chance, for this opportunity to preach to you. You may not believe it, but I pray to God. I said, Lord, the first message that I ever want to preach, let it be to the youth. I can't tell you tonight what God has done and what he's doing in my life. But I tell you, youth, today, that God has placed a love in my heart for you. I stand here and tell you tonight that when you are in the body of Christ, you can be miles away and you can still feel the burden. When I went home to Philadelphia for my grandmother's funeral, I don't say this to mean any harm, but the church was the last thing I was thinking about. My class was the last thing that I was thinking about, because I had come home to put my grandmother in the grave. And my only regret was that I got there a little bit too late to talk to her about this gospel. I shared as much as I could, but I wanted to be there to tell her this one last time. But as I was in a room praying, and I'm not saying this to pin any roses on my face, but God put these young people before my face, and I couldn't understand why God would do that to me when I was going home for something else. But he put the young people before my face and showed me that they needed love. That they needed love. That they needed some care and some attention. That they needed some watering. And they needed some just taking real good care of. So tonight I know that God has placed the young people in my heart. And I want to thank you once again for this message that you've allowed me to preach. And if you would turn your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel. And as you stand in reverence to the reading of the word, I want you to bear with me tonight. I might stumble and I might bumble, but I want to do this thing for Jesus tonight. In the book of 1 Samuel, starting at the 3rd chapter in the 1st verse. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. You know, saints, the word isn't precious to too many people today. But I'm glad that I'm in a church that I can say right now, lift up the word, saints. Lift up the word that you have in your hands. Just lift the word of God up. Lift it up. This word is precious tonight. And I know it's precious to you tonight. Hallelujah. And there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the God, of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here I am. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. And he said, I call not. Lay down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Where am I? Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Tonight, if I had to give this a title, or if I just left a little thought with you tonight, I like it to be this: Heed the call. Could you repeat that? Heed the call. You may be seated. I want to go back over some of these scriptures because I did stumble in some areas. But there's some things that I want to get across to you. If there's nothing else that be accomplished in this service, I pray that the Spirit of God would move on the hearts of my young people. I would pray that God would move in a mighty way on the hearts of my young people today. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Young people, let me tell you today, you better get the word of God in your heart. You better get the word of God so deep in your heart that nothing could ever remove it. There may come a time when these Bibles, these things that we know as the word of God, the sword, may be cast into a fire. And then where will you be if you have not the word of God in your heart? If the word of God is not the most precious thing that you own. The Bible says in those days, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Brother Ralph, I want to reiterate what you said last night. Young people, you're the future church of tomorrow. If something, God forbid, happened to the older saints, say an epidemic came, and all of the older saints from such an age were killed off, where would this church be? You will have to carry the weight. You will have to get this gospel preached. What good is a message if it has no messenger? And what good is a messenger if he send not or give not the message? You see, Eli's eyes waxed dim. In other words, he was getting old. He couldn't see as once as he well did. And that laid the ball in a young man's lap named Samuel. And the air, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here I am. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here I am. You see, he didn't know quite yet what it was to hear that still small voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. He thought it was Eli, the one who had raised him, the one that he had ministered to in the temple at divers times. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. I want you to note the diligence of this young man. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I have to be honest with you. God didn't really open up this one passage of scripture until I started on my way to the church. You know, something that I find very hard to understand, how a child can be raised up, quote unquote, in the church and never know the voice of the Lord and never know God's Spirit. I find it hard to believe today that we have some of our young people that really haven't heard the voice of the Lord and haven't really experienced what it's going to take to live for God. But the Bible said, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He never had a true experience. He never one day yielded his life and came down to an altar and supped and fell on his knees and said, "Oh God, forgive me, for I am a sinner." I know. But he was one of his mother's Holy Ghost. He went on his daddy's Holy Ghost. That's sufficient for me. It's going to get me in one of these days. Well, let me tell you, young people, you're wrong. Mama won't get you into heaven, and daddy won't get you into heaven. Tonight, I'm not standing up here to win a popularity contest. I'm standing up here to cry out loud and spare not, because I love you tonight, young people. But some of you have the wrong impression of God, that you can live for God the way you want to. But that's not the way it is. The Bible says that he didn't know the Lord. The Lord had not yet revealed himself. You know, when you get that revelation of who God is, when you get that revelation of who God is, you can sing that song, "I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. Oh, for such a wretch like me tonight." You know one thing I thank God for? Is that I know the voice of the Lord. I've had the revelation of who God is. I thank God that one day he looked down and saw a sinner such as me, and that he laid down his life. You know, that's a remarkable thing in itself. I can imagine Jesus on Calvary. I can imagine prior to being put on that cross. The Bible says that the other malefactors were nailed to the cross. But did you ever stop to think how they were nailed to the cross? Picture this in your mind. Big Roman. Big and strong. Holding somebody with them. The last time. Nailed up to the cross. I can imagine these men screaming to the top of their lungs. "Oh no, not me! Just take somebody else! I thank him tonight that he laid down his life. You know, I've heard accounts that they took those other two malefactors and what they had to do to drive the nails into their hands or into their wrist section. And it's gruesome. It's awesome what they did. But the Bible says that he never mumbled a word. Amen. But you know, tonight, I'm glad that I know the voice of the Lord. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thou servant heareth.'" Speak, Lord, for thou servant heareth. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. Just speak the word, and I'll do it. And I can imagine that lad listening, just wondering, will he give me another chance? Will he just call one more time that I could tell him I recognize his voice, that I can receive this experience that I'm going to need to walk with God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Samuel went and lied down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle." If you continue to read the account, you will see tonight that that man went on to be bigger and better things in Christ. You will see that that man was chosen and called of God. Tonight, for a subject or a thought I took, heed the call. tonight, I would be less than a friend if I didn't inform you, saint of God, sinner man, whomever you so call yourself to be, that before you can do what this sign says, show me thy glory, show me thy glory, you must first heed the call. You must first heed the call to that still small voice. Show me thy glory. With the help of the Lord tonight, I would like to endeavor to go into a few well-known men of the Bible. I'd like to go into their life, and I'd like to show you the opportunities that certain ones had to heed the call and to be shown the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. We'll start at the 15th to the 17th verse. In Genesis 2 and 15 through 17, the Bible reads, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." I want you to notice tonight that there was a call. Tonight I'll be talking about various calls. Don't get it confused. I'm not just talking about a call to preach. I'm not just talking about a call to be saints. But I'm just talking about calls tonight. Just general calls. And the Bible says that the Lord placed Adam in the garden. And it was for a purpose. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." As we turn to the book of Genesis, we turn to a time or a dispensation known as innocence. As the scriptures unfold, we found the Lord instructing Adam what to do, what his purpose was, what his call would be. If you continue to go down, the Bible speaks of how the Lord looked on man and saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he made him a companion. He made him a helpmeet, formed out of his own ribs. And he breathed the breath of life into that being. And Adam took his wife. And you may notice that there are always positive and negative rewards to those who choose to heed or not to heed the word of God. God spoke unto Adam and said that every tree of the garden was his, save one. That tree was not to be touched. That tree was not to be tampered with. That tree was not to eat of. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. I want you to know that Satan today has three tactics that I'm going to break down for you a little bit later on. Turn to Genesis 3. We're starting at the first verse. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." That word subtle means cunning, but not cunning in a good way. That word means crafty. Sneaky. Real sneaky. That's what And the Bible says, that he was there. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, right now, I'm going to tell you something. Sister Eve made two mistakes, and we're going to get to them. But do you notice the tactic of Satan? The first thing he did was challenged the word of God. And do you know what he did also, young people? He challenged Eve to see if she knew the word of God. Now you just keep on reading with Brother Haynes a minute. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Praise the Lord. You're right, Sister Eve. You're right. She got her memory verse right, because that was correct. God did say that. But continue to read on and see what she said. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, just bless. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, pray tell me, where in the scripture did God say, don't touch? The first saint that finds it, just bring your Bible up and I'll endeavor to eat the whole thing. Because it's not in the Word. You see, Satan is going to challenge you. You see, some of you young ladies wear some very nice apparel. And you have your hair up. And I appreciate that. Let me tell you right now, I appreciate that. But there are going to be some people that's going to come and say, well, you don't have to do that. The scriptures don't say that. But don't be like Sister Eve. Take them to the Word of God and show them, thus saith the Lord. But Sister Eve failed in the second portion. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here he goes again. The Bible says that he is the father of all lies. And here we see the first lie squeezing through the teeth of old Slewfoot. And the Bible says that when he said, surely ye shall not die, that the woman just was all broken up about the whole thing. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Two things Sister Eve did. Number one, she entertained a conversation with Satan. Let me tell you something, young people, and I'm saying this to help you out. Maybe this thing might get you to heaven tonight. You know when some people may bring you a tale? They're called tale bearers. And the Bible doesn't really like tale bearers. But if you really want to shut a tale bearer's mouth up, you know what you say to them? I don't want to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you say that, I promise you their mouth will drop wide open and they will do an about face. Continue to walk and leave you be. That's what you do for tale bearing. That's what you do for ungodly conversation tonight. Hallelujah. And the Bible lets us know that Sister Eve entertained that conversation. First she listened, and then she had input. And just ran off a whole bunch of things that wasn't even in the Word of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just help me, oh God. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Notice small g. Knowing good and evil. Now, what Satan did was try to isolate one little thing. Young people, there are a whole bunch of things that you can do. But there's a whole bunch of things that's not edifying. All things are lawful, but not expedient. Can I pass that by again? All things are lawful, but not expedient. Now, there was a whole bunch of things that Eve could have done in that garden, like doing the job God told her to do. There was a whole bunch of things that they could have been doing. But all things are lawful, but not expedient. And we find that Satan took a small, isolated incident and said, now look here. Testimony, I would be persuaded that she would tell you, don't look into it. Don't touch it. Don't even walk by. You know, Satan has a lot of things in the world, and I tell you what, he can keep it, because I wouldn't give the world for my salvation. Magazine, and you see a 5 or 6 year old child committing acts, ungodly acts. But we're being programmed tonight that is all right. We're being programmed that if it feels good, do it. I'm going to tell you what, there's always a penalty when you mess around with sin. There's a whole bunch of venereal diseases going around. And one of them is called herpes. And do you know today, that is incurable. But Satan will fix it up and make you think that it's all right. But it's not. We're going to see the predicament that is going to get people in. We're going to see the predicament that this fruit got Eve in. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now I told you that there were three tactics that Satan uses. If you turn to the book of 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 16th verse, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Remember that piece of fruit? He made it look good. He made it look desirable unto her flesh, unto her taste buds, if you please. And the lust of the eyes. Her eyes probably gleamed when she saw that piece of fruit. and the pride of life. Satan said that she would be as God, knowing good and evil, knowing all things. You know what it is to be puffed up with pride? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. And the world passeth away. I want y'all to hear this. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the what? The what? The will of God, he abideth forever. And I'm going to tell you today, Sister Eve couldn't stand here in her testimony and told you that she abided forever. Because the Bible says, in the day that you eat of that fruit, ye shall surely die. Now, I don't want any misconceptions today. And I don't want anybody to leave out of here perplexed. Because what the Bible says, it means. Now, you might say, well, Brother Haynes, Eve ate of that fruit and she didn't die. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, that's one thing about humans, Brother Clayton. When they mess up, they want to try to fix themselves. They went, the Bible said they took fig leaves and they hit themselves. Because they knew that they were naked. But before that, the Bible says that they were naked and were not ashamed. You check it out. That they were naked but not ashamed. Ended for them. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know what? Humans are just so strange. God is omnipresent. He's an all-seeing, all-knowing God. And the Bible says they tried to hide. But you know what the Bible said? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, if I could just imagine in my mind the reply that Adam had to give. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. Today, to walk away from the presence of God. Today, to just walk away from the presence of God. I pray that I never, ever, never, ever have that on my lips. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said unto the woman, up. Here it comes. Watch out. And the Lord said, and the man said, the woman. You know, Lord, the one you created, the one that was my rib, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He even tried to pass the buck to God, Brother Clayton. And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, and she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? You have never seen a buck pass any faster than this. And the serpent and the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In other words, he tricked me. He led me astray. Lord, he told me that this thing was going to be good. He told me, Lord, if I would just eat of it, I would be where you're sitting. I would know what you know. But oh no. If we continue to read on, and I'm assured that you know the rest of the story, how that God pronounce judgment on them. And it probably didn't strike them at that moment just what the sentence had meant. But I promise you, later on in years, they would understand the price they would pay for not heeding the call. They were banished from the garden, told not to ever come back. And I could just think, how would it be? How would it be to be taken out of the presence of God and told I could never experience it again? One day, Brother Clayton preached a message, boy, and it was a bombshell. He made us feel so bad in the beginning of the service. He was trying to get our minds and thoughts to how it would be like if we didn't have the Spirit of God, if God just one day looked at us square in the eye and said, I never knew you. Nothing you ever did, I never acknowledged it. And I thought about that, and that thing just stirred me. That maybe I'm not pleasing to God. Maybe there's things in my life I need to get straightened out. Maybe God doesn't always acknowledge some of the things I do. But later on, they would realize the price they paid, they would have to pay for not heeding the call. If you continue in Genesis, the 4th chapter, starting at the 1st verse. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now God had pronounced sentence on them. He pronounced sentence first on the serpent, then on Eve, and then on Adam. And I can't imagine Eve really understanding her sentence, because she knew not what it felt like to bear a child. But I'm quite sure I could ask some of the women in the congregation and you would be able to raise your hands, because now you know. But she didn't know at that time what her sentence would be. And she bare two children. And I can imagine that bearing children is not very pleasant. And Eve bare two children. She received her portion of the sentence. If you would allow me at this time to use my imagination for a moment, I like to think of Adam and Eve in this picture setting. Adam and Eve, after a hard, long day's work, probably Adam tilling the field, the sweat comes down from his brow, sitting down with Sister Eve, sharing with their children. Now you know what it took? You know what it took to get us an apron, Cain? It took the shedding of blood. Those fig leaves didn't do. And God does not want anything cursed that he cursed. But we find Cain bringing that and laying it down. And I can imagine him standing back, thinking that fire was going to consume his sacrifice and that God was going to be pleased with it. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God was not pleased with it. I can perhaps think of two things in my mind why God wasn't pleased with it. Number one was the attitude of Cain, the way he gave. You know, it can be depicted like some of us tonight, coming to church. Now, you mean to tell me God is going to be pleased with that? Now, I promise you, if you would have put a penny in there and you did it with the right spirit, God would have just ate it up. He would have just really been grateful. But because you gave it with the wrong attitude, if you might as well have kept it. I'm just going to be honest with you. You might as well just keep your money, because the Bible again says that he loves a cheerful giver. And the second thing was what he offered up. What did he offer up? Something cursed. Something that God cursed himself. And here he go going to try and offer it unto God. If you continue to read down with me, and it says, but unto Cain and in his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And you can imagine that. Cain is wroth, and his countenance fell. He's the one with the bad attitude. I don't really want to be here tonight. Well, Alfred, praise the Lord. You know, I'll do just what it takes to get by.
Oh, praise the Lord tonight. Yeah, praise the Lord.
I'll do what it takes to slide through this service tonight. But yet and still, when he walks out of the service doors, not blessed of God and not feeling the anointing of God, then he has the nerve to get mad about it. Get a nerve to break down his mug, if you please.
Yeah.
What happened in the service?
Oh, man.
Man, I went there and sat through that. You know why? Because you didn't put anything into it. When you come to the service with the mind of, how can I bless God? How can I lift up his name? What can I do to exalt him tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And those were the two things that hindered him. And he had a fallen countenance. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? In other words, if nothing else, I should be the one. You're half-heartedly giving yourself into service. You're half-heartedly living for me. You're half-heartedly giving unto me. But why? Why are you wroth? Why has your countenance fallen? You know, one thing I love about God, he's a friend of mine. Brother Clayton, I appreciate that message that you preached, that he's a friend. That stirred my heart more than anything this week past. That no matter what, he's a friend. Do you know what? This is what a friend does. When you're in need and when you have a problem, your friend wants to help you. Now, doesn't he? I'm talking about a true friend now. Your friend wants to help you. And do you know Jesus is the same way? Jesus will come and see you sitting down, all burdensome, all real low in the dump. Find that we have a friend in Jesus. Don't worry, y'all. I just threw that in. Praise God. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Think of what your friend is saying. If you doeth well, shall not you be accepted? In Matthew 23:37, you don't have to turn. In part, it speaks, thou shalt love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy soul and all thy mind. You mean to tell me, if you do that, you'll be accepted? Yes. If you do well, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and do it not. Now, if You want to be accepted, do well. Love the Lord, thy God, with all thy soul, and with all thy heart, and with all thy mind. And if you don't mind, young people, tonight, get your priorities straight in God. Get your priorities straight. God will bless you with whatever you need. And I know for a fact some of y'all is wanting some things. But when you get your priorities straight in God, He's going to grant them. He's going to give you what you want. And He's going to give you the desires of His heart. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And God at this time was trying to tell Abel something. He was trying to show him something. He was trying to enlighten him. But only if Cain would have heeded the call. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin. Sin. Perhaps this is the first time we see that three-letter word in the Bible. Sin. Lie of wait. In other words, Cain, if you don't watch out, if you don't get your attitude together, if you don't get the right spirit, sin lieth wait. There's another rendered that sin croucheth. There's always warning before destruction. And God was trying to give him a little friendly counsel. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. I can imagine him in the fields. Hey, Abel, I just don't understand why God didn't accept my offering, knowing all the time he did. Man, I seen that fire just come down and consume yours. But mine is still standing there. I wonder why. I can imagine him just talking and talking. And all of a time, sin lieth wait. Sin croucheth waiting. Sin ready to launch out. And all of a sudden the Bible says, a blow. He smote his brother in the field. And you know the rest of the story. That blood, that precious blood, cried out and ascended unto heaven. And God asked him, Cain, where is thy brother? And you know, even though all that he did, he still had a nerve to have an arrogant attitude about it. Am I my brother's keeper? I mean, do I hold his hand? I mean, do I go walking around with him day in and day out? Am I his keeper? You know what? An arrogant spirit God hates. And I'm going to tell you that now, young people. An arrogant spirit God hates. And if you continue to go on, the Bible shows how God pronounced the sentence against Cain and how he was to run and to be a vagabond and a fugitive. And there's one portion of scripture that I just want to share that just really lets me know that he wasn't all that he cranked up to be. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Tonight, the sin that you might fall into is going to be greater than you can bear. It's going to be greater than you fall. You can't dibble and dabble in sin and come up clean. We're going to go on to a life of another patriarch, another well-known person in the Bible. But only if Cain would have heeded the call, this story could have been written different. If only if Cain would have heeded the call. Noah, turn to Genesis 6 and the 7th verse, and I'll start at the 14th. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 6, 7 and 14. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And he said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is before me. Listen how God said that. The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt build it within and without pitch. Time would not allow me to continue to go on until everyone that I wanted to cover, but I will briefly touch on Noah. You are familiar, I'm sure, with the story of how God instructed Noah to build this ark. If you can imagine tonight all of the materials that it took to build this ark. Number one, the first thing I want you to understand is that Noah heeded the call. Noah heeded the call. Now, in those days, I'm told that it did not rain, as we know rain, but rain came from the earth up, but not like God had pronounced it. God had said, Noah, it's going to rain. It's going to rain on this earth, and it's going to take everything away that I've created. God shared with Noah what was going to happen. If it had been some of us today, Brother Ralph, we may have, in a lapsadaisical way, took our time about building the ark. Rain? What's rain, Sister Clayton? I ain't never seen such. But the Lord said it's going to be rain, so I commenced to make it on this ark. You know, God tells some of us sometimes, hey, that person over there needs to know about Jesus. Go ahead with it. Well, Lord, I'll catch the next, and that one's based on those two pledges. Oh, I'll just keep on working on this art. Here comes the next one. God, son, go with me. Go with me. Oh, Lord, I don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, we get into a habit in this place that we don't want to do the wrong thing. I can appreciate that to a certain extent. But believe me, I'm not pointing no fingers. Here you go. See them all coming back at me? I even got a crooked thumb coming back at me. I am speaking to myself. We don't want to do the wrong thing, so we don't do nothing. There once was a story about a man, and everything was just conveyor belt just going, and all of a sudden, things just start running down the aisle, and he was just standing there, not doing nothing. The foreman comes down and looks at him. Hey, man, why didn't you do something? I didn't want to do the wrong thing. And here you have a whole day of production down the drain. And all God is telling us to do, don't worry about what to say. I'll give it to you. You know what? I promise you. And I challenge you today, tonight if you please, if you run up on somebody, you just stand there. And you have in your heart that you want to witness. And I promise you that God will help you. Because I don't know anybody in this church that can't run off about Jesus Christ. It's just getting them cranked up, Brother Clay. Yeah. Getting them started. But boy, after you get them started, hey! Don't you need this baptism? Do you know who God is? Hey. Get them started. Just get them started. Break the ice. He'll give you what you say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us in this area, oh God. And all you got to do is get it started. But anyway, Noah worked with diligence, and the Bible lets us know that Noah prepared the ark, as God had said. And we know that God had favor in the sight of Noah. And we know that God blessed Noah. And it is unlikely that if Noah hadn't heeded the call, that he and his family would have ever seen the glory of God. Would have ever seen that beautiful rainbow. That covenant that lasts even until this day. If he had not heeded the call of God. Today, show me thy glory. I'm a friend tonight. I'm your friend. In order to say that to God with a sincere heart and earnesty, you must first heed the call. In closing, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, the 5th chapter, starting at the first verse. Time does not permit me to go into some of the other well-known men of the Bible, such as Moses. You know one thing I like about Moses? He was a man that didn't mind standing still for God. He was a man that didn't mind taking what God was going to give him. At first, there's accounts where he tried to mole out of it, tried to squirm his way, but God gave him what he needed. He gave him a spokesman. He gave him a rod and said, go get him, son. Go ahead. Do my will. I'll be there. Don't worry about it. One thing I like, the Bible says that Moses walked by a burning bush, and there was just something different about this bush. It just burned and 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 burned. But that was a common event in those days to see a burning bush. But then it would just burn away. But this bush continued to burn. And Brother Clayton, that's what I like about this way that I'm in. That it's continuing to burn. It's never stopped burning. It's just continuing to burn. It's continuing to burn in my soul. And I appreciate God for the fire that he's put there. That's what separates us apart from a lot of places. That this bush hasn't died out. This bush hasn't died out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Luke, the 5th chapter, I'm going to skip some verses. I said we would start at the first verse. Let us start at the 2nd verse. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Let me tell you, in case you didn't know, that washing of the net signified the end of a day's work. Everything was all said and done. The Bible says that the fishermen were gone, but there were empty boats there. Tonight, Jesus is waiting on some people to come back to their boats. Tonight, Jesus is waiting for some of you to come back that he could share with you, that he could give you a call. Tonight, the Bible says that they were gone from their boats, but Jesus waited. I thank God for the long suffering that he has. I thank God for the testimonies of the saints, and that we can be around one another and exalt and lift up the name of Jesus. One day, Sister Beverly Mellick shared something with me about a sister in her former church that used to always give God thanks and praise for the abundance of mercies. Now you think about it a minute. These fishermen were not at their boat. The end of the day was there. They were cleaning their nets. And the Bible says that he waited. You know, God is long-suffering. He's patient. He's stubborn, if you please. He has a stubborn love that just won't quit. He has a stubborn love that won't quit. And we find now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. I have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word. In other words, Lord, speak. Your servant heareth. I'll heed the call, Lord. I'll heed the call, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be, Lord. I'll do it, Lord, just because you say so. Just because you say so, Lord. And the Bible says that the nets were let down. And all of a sudden, a multitude of fish, a multitude of fish began to just lift and be in that net so heavy that the weight of them was not contained by that one net. So they called over to their partners. Hey, we got a multitude of fish. And they came over. And the Bible says that those boats began to sink. And if you would skip over with me to the 8th verse. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Would you stand? A true encounter with God, a true encounter with Jesus Christ, will always bring about a confession of sins, a repentant heart. Peter fell down at the knees of Jesus Christ, fell at the feet of Jesus, and said, Lord, I am a sinful man. Depart from me, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsake all and followed him. Tonight, heed the call. Heed the call. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, heed the call. If God has let you know tonight, I'm knocking. I'm knocking at your heart tonight. I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people tonight. The Bible says in the book of Chronicles that if my people, are you his people tonight? My people, people of the name, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Heed the call. Heed the call that God is calling you to do. It may not be what you desire, but is a call from God. It may be the call of a Sunday school teacher. It may be the call just of a saint. It may be a call of winning souls. But whatever it is that God laid on your heart tonight, heed the call. Heed the call unto God. One final scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Please tonight, not for me, not for Brother Clayton, not for Brother Ralph, but for God Almighty. This may be the last time we walk this way again. This may be the last time that God endeavors to knock at your doors, at the doorpost of your heart. Heed the call. Heed the call.
Go to or mountain or plain or sea.
You'd like to have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you to come and just stand in the front tonight so that we may pray with you. If you're here tonight without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just come and stand and let's pray. They're coming.
Nor plain, nor sea.
Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
And
call upon him while he is near.
What you want me.
God's calling tonight.
Say the Lord and I'll be what you want me.
Are there others here tonight? Are there others tonight that would come?
Oh,
the Spirit of the Lord is growing.
While
the Spirit of the Lord is drawing.
To God, to
while God's Lord, speaking to hearts tonight.
Or mountain, or plain, or sea. And I'll say what you want me. Say, dear Lord, I will be what
Hallelujah.
You want me.
Come on, saints, it's time to pray. Let's move in and
oh,
move
yes,
around
God,
these that are here for prayer tonight. Let's pray together. It's prayer time.
To
it's time
God,
to come.
Dear
it's time
Lord,
to come.
Or mountain, or plain,
it's prayer time. It's time to be open and sensitive to the Spirit of God.
And
it's time to allow the Lord to move. It's time to heed the call. It's time to heed the call.
Yeah.